When one thinks about the early church that you read about in the book of Acts, undoubtedly the day of Pentecost is the greatest day that the Christian church ever had. The day when the Holy Spirit came into the hearts of these people. We were been looking at that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and we were just noticing exactly what happened. When they were all gathered together with one accord in one place, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. This is in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and I'm just now reading in the second verse. Yesterday I drew your attention to the fact that does not say there was a rushing mighty wind. It says there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It was an audible manifestation. Something happened that gave them the sense in their ears as of if they heard this, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, would indicate that the sound was general. Everybody heard it. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And there again, I think it's perfectly right to speak of these as fiery tongues, because they were fiery in appearance. Now, what they were, I don't know. You know, we can have manifestations of flashes of light which are not necessarily fire, such as happens with electrical contact when it is made and so on, sparks flying out and the like of that. But in any case, whatever this is, we are not told. We are only told what it looked like. And these tongues sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This might be a good place for us to make mention of something that will come up time and again. In the scripture, as I read it to you, you will hear the word Holy Ghost, the name Holy Ghost, and you'll speak of the Holy Spirit. May I comment to say that in the Greek, there's no difference between those two words. In other words, there's only one word in the Greek. And they were translated sometimes ghost and sometimes spirit, so far as our English translation is concerned. This was one of those places where we had two English words, and the translators, as they prepared the King James Version of the Bible, they followed the general principle of giving variety when it was possible, and they used a different term whenever it was convenient to do so, so that sometimes you speak of people being filled with demons, and other times are under the possession of demons, and sometimes under the possession of devils. Well, it is the same Greek word. Used demons one time, devils another, and here used ghost one time, spirit another. In this very same verse, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, is the same Greek word. And we commonly are beginning to say they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I think perhaps we might, as it were, alert ourselves now for something we're going to notice. I want you to notice about this speaking with tongues. We have, in our day and time, every now and again, in this community or that community, a rather exciting experience where some group of Christian people begin to speak with other tongues. And the rest of us are sometimes almost disturbed by the emphasis that they give to this, and especially the claim they imply that everyone should speak with tongues. And so we have to wonder about that. And as we do our wondering and we do our thinking about that, we might look back here and see what it was like here. Some people will sometimes ask whether our instances of modern speaking with tongues is like you have it in the second chapter of the book of Acts. I do not want to press this out. I think if you will look at it, you will see there are differences. I think that the modern experience that I know anything about in any of the churches that I have ever been in and seen this happen is more like you read in the book of Corinthians, in the 12th chapter, 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter, 1 Corinthians, but not quite like you have it here, as you shall just now see. Now, when you read from verses 5 to 13, we are reading in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and you look down through 5 to 13, you will find that there were in Jerusalem people from many different parts of the Asia Minor, of the Mediterranean world, speaking different dialects and languages, and each one of them heard the gospel in his own language. This is so remarkable that I think it might be well for us just to read it. Listen to how it goes. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, That is to say, religious persons. And that means to say people who were attending the temple and attending the worship services, the kind of men who would go there for religious services. Out of every nation under heaven, is a general expression to say, from all the different localities in the Mediterranean world, from many different places. Now, when this was noised abroad, when the rumor got around, the word got around, about these men speaking in other tongues, the multitude came together, big crowd gathered, and were confounded. We don't ordinarily use that word like that. The word we ordinarily use is confused. We're brought into confusion. They were confounded, they were confused, they were puzzled, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, this is astonishing. They were all amazed, and we would be, and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" There's no doubt about it that this was actually a matter of dialect. And how hear we, every man, in our own tongue, in our own dialect, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, in our dialects, the wonderful works of God. By the way, I can't help but pause there for a moment to comment on the fact that when these people were talking, this is what they were doing. They were telling the wonderful works of God. I'm not sure how far they ranged in their testimony, and I've often wondered what those people were talking about. I think perhaps the Lord doesn't list it here because I expect this is the kind of thing that would come to us as we read the Bible. As we read the Bible and study the Bible, I think the Lord would fill in what we would say if we were suddenly filled with the Spirit and could tell people of the blessing that God was working with us and in us. And they were all amazed, not so much about the wonderful works of God as that they heard in their own dialects, and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this? What do you make of this?" That is when they were in doubt, just like you and I would be if we saw something that was hard for us to understand. And others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." I'm not going to dwell long on this, but I think we ought to mention it, not just because it was said once, because of what it intimates and what it implies. You know, it's a pretty hard thing to make your way along in this world in what you should understand. There are so many different voices, so many different people saying so many different things. And perhaps you've had people come to you, to your house, to talk to you about the Bible, talk to you about religion, talk to you about God, bringing so many different ideas. And truly, in the world, we've got all kinds of notions come out. Among them is the true notion, is the true gospel, and it's taught too. And people give their personal testimony, and they tell about what happened to them. Now, sometimes when these people tell about what happened to them, it's marvelous. It's amazing the story that they tell. And some of us listening to their personal testimonies of the blessing of God that they have received are inwardly moved. We wish we had that for ourselves. We would just pray to God that God would do something like that for us. And do you realize that right at a time like that, God permits this to happen? The mockers, the sneerers, the people who take exception, who resent any kind of testimony like that. And here, these men are full of new wine. Well, now, you know, that's ridiculous. But still, who is to say? After all, they were strangers, and they looked in on that. And here are these persons who offer this as an explanation. Do I need to tell you they hadn't seen them drinking? Do I need to tell you that they had no evidence of this? That's not the way rumors get started. You don't need it. Listen, don't pay full attention to every negative word you hear. Don't always accept every criticism that's voiced. There are some criticisms voiced just out of, as we would say, things that are made up out of whole cloth. Just the whole thing is just made up. It's just spun out of the imagination. And there's criticism and objection that's sometimes given out just through resentment. people say, well, and they really mean to say, I wouldn't be a bit surprised, but what it would be like this. And so instead of giving you that preamble, they just tell you, it's like this, whatever it would be that they'd say. These folks mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Well, there was no reason for saying that. The reason I'm pausing on that is, there'll be such people come to you. You will face things in your church. You will face things in your community. You will face things in your own family. You will face the testimony that'll come to you in your own personal experience. And right in the community where you are, there will be some men or women who will have a personal testimony of blessing received from God. Maybe they're not members of your congregation. Maybe they're not even in your denomination. And they'll tell you of what God has done for them. And you'll be greatly tempted. You'll be tempted to give some easy, cheap, and unworthy explanation of what happened. And I would like to urge you, for your own soul's sake, don't do it that way. Now, mind you, you can't believe everybody. I know that. And you're going to test the spirits, whether they be of God. But do not accept the careless, insinuating, sneering suggestion that is made by people who don't believe at all. So you have someone give a personal testimony of what happened, and some other person hearing about it will sneeringly make some comment. Ask yourself about this sneering person. Is he someone you should follow? Don't take up the sneer. Now, the man may be wrong, but sneering won't make it right. And that's what I would like to suggest in every way about these things. Now listen, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, and we'll be looking at that in our next study, is how Peter treated this insinuation against them. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy revelation of Thyself, that Thou hast revealed the gospel to us through the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it has been spoken to our hearts, and we have gathered the peace of God that has come to us through knowing about the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for it. And we thank Thee for the witnesses, for the Christians whose personal testimony has been an inspiration to us. Help us to understand these things and bless us in our thinking about it. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.